Our scripture this morning is taken from the second chapter of John, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken.
When our hearts and minds turn toward religion, and you remember what that word means, right? Religion, we had that recently, boys and girls. Remember, it's from the same Latin root that ligament is from, ligare. Religion means being tied to God, how we are tied to God. When our hearts and minds turn toward religion, our young Isaac is right. Not the Isaac of the Old Testament, the Isaac of First Christian Conroe. Remember how he is, that every question that can be asked from me in the children's moment can always be answered with one word. Jesus. No matter what the question is, Jesus is the answer. Back a couple of years before I retired, I had promised those at Taylor Lake that from that point forward, I would only preach the red letters. You know what I'm talking about? If you've got a red letter edition, all the words of Jesus are in red letters. And I pretty much kept to that until I concluded my ministry at Taylor Lake. I think I may make that vow again. I'm not planning on leaving, but I think I may just stick with the red letters from now on. I would never get through, would I? This morning's passage is one of those. But in one way, I think John got it wrong. John places this passage at the beginning of his gospel, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The other gospels that record this story record it at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, the first part of that week that culminates with the Passover. It was at a Passover in the first of his ministry, but it wasn't this Passover. At the Passover time, every Jew who possibly could came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem probably was a city of about 50 to 75,000 permanent residents at that time. But during the Passover, there would literally be hundreds of thousands of people. The Passover was their defining moment. It was their defining moment. It had been well over a millennia since that first Passover. What does the word Passover mean? Do you remember the origin of that story? What happened? Yes. That was when the angel of death would pass over the houses of the children of Israel in their attempting to leave Egypt and would slay the firstborn. It was a serious time for the children of Israel. It was their identity as a people. Jesus went to the temple. He found the money changers changing money. He found the animal sellers selling animals. They were changing money and selling animals. Why? For their sacrifice. This was all perfectly proper. Not only was it proper, it was required of them. Most of the money in circulation in Jerusalem at this time was had whose picture on it? Remember another passage of Jesus? It had Caesar's picture. And that money would not do in the temple to purchase an animal for sacrifice. So they would exchange the temple money, the shekel, for the denarii. And that was what the money changers did. And then the people would take the shekel and they would purchase animals for the sacrifice. And these were not just any animals. For you see, the sacrifice must be an animal without blemish. And so these animals were especially raised for just this purchase, from dove to ram. Why did they do all of this? Why did they do all of this? Have an idea? They were taught to, yeah. And the result was for them in their religious experience that they were made pure by the sacrifice. The people brought their impurities, and by making the proper sacrifice, they would be forgiven for those impurities. There was another festival in which they would take a goat and they would heap the sin of the whole city on that goat. And they would take it out to the edge of a hill in Jerusalem and push it over the edge. We get the term scapegoat from that. It was to make the people pure and the priests very rich. I was Yahooing recently, and up came a list of the 10 wealthiest preachers. Just checking to see if I was there. It is. I have to tell you this, and this is not jealousy. It was obscene to see the houses that some of those preachers lived in. It was truly obscene. They are the richest of the rich, some in America and around the world. They went to the same school of religious economics that the priests in first century Jerusalem went to. For you see, there were only two kinds of rich people in Jerusalem at the time. One were the Romans, the leaders of the Romans, and the other were the priests. And these sacrifices were to make the people pure. And you had to make the right sacrifice to get right with God. And what was the only way to God? If you were just a poor citizen of Jerusalem, a Jewish citizen, what was your only path to God? The priest. And on that fateful Passover, everything was humming. Money being changed like it should be. And the proper sacrifices made like they should be. And here comes Jesus storming in. What does he do? He turns the tables over. In some of the passages, it says he releases the animals. Can you picture this? Here is the outer court of the Holy Temple, guarded by Roman centurions. And here walks this vagabond rabbi and his motley crew of followers, and he turns the whole thing upside down. This would certainly have gotten Pontius Pilate's attention, wouldn't it?
I think so.
In this action, his fate was sealed. It didn't matter what else he did. It didn't matter what answers he came up with. It didn't matter what sort of blasphemies he preached in the minds of the chief priests and the Pharisees. This one act would have sealed his fate. He was upsetting the Pax Romana, Roman peace. Jesus was crucified not because he claimed to be God's son. There were others at this time who were claiming to be Messiah. He was crucified because he interrupted the cash flow in the temple. It's the phrase you all have heard time and time and time again. Follow the money. You see, and these folks in the temple were the pure of their religion, were they not? The priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, those who had money for proper sacrifice, they were the ceremonially pure. They were the pure. Hence the title of this sermon. Some of you had questions about that. Lord of the impure. For you see, Jesus came as Lord of the impure. The poor, the leper, the woman at the well, the down and outs, the have-nots, the dispossessed and the disenfranchised. That was his kingdom, was it not? We have to be careful. We have to be very careful. For you see, we sit here in this beautiful sanctum sanctorum, this beautiful sanctuary, and we must never forget that Jesus came as the Lord of the impure. Christianity began not as the religion of the establishment, but as the religion of the insurrection. One of the passages, one of the phrases in that passage was this: his disciples remembered a passage from their study of Scripture, "Zeal for thy house would consume me." Yeah. So when we are tempted to become respectably religious, we must remember our roots as a people of faith. Jesus came as the Lord of the impure. The disciples remembered the passage, "Zeal for your house will consume me." But what the Jews said to him then was, "What sign can you show for doing this today? What sign can you show? Prove that you are who you say you are if you're going to turn the tables upside down and release all the animals. Because we're doing nothing wrong here. We are upholding the law." Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." As usual, They misunderstood. They were thinking construction. Jesus was speaking of spiritual matters. And then that kind of haunting passage. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples believed him. In a few weeks, you will see some banners in front of the sanctuary that say, Easter changed everything. The Apostle Paul countered when he was being asked, if Jesus is not raised, is your preaching in vain? How did he answer them? He answered them, yes. If Christ be not raised, then all of our preaching is in vain. Are you willing to bet your life that it's true? I am. Amen.